The future of insurance in this digital world. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump often defines a bigger trade deficit as a problem, and so some may see a problem. In news this morning, that the difference between what the U.S. buys from abroad and what America exports is the largest since the last financial crisis. We can now say the trade gap rose 12% to $621 billion in 2018, despite U.S. tariffs and other U.S.-centric policies. But bigger trade deficits are not simply a sign of suffering. On Wednesdays, we get insight from Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
So the big deficit, I guess that is in part a function of the relatively strong economy we have.
When people feel good about things, they spend more. So we're clearly buying more. The irony is that this is one of the biggest numbers we've seen in a time when the administration is really focused on reducing the trade deficit.
Yeah, it's the highest this deficit since before the great financial collapse in 2008. I do note, though, that the deficit in goods is the highest ever, but America sells services overseas, and the U.S. has a surplus, not a deficit, when it comes to selling services.
You're absolutely right. Services is a place where the American economy excels. We're playing to our strengths.
And back to this idea of a strong economy, we have some new payroll numbers out today.
And we have good payroll numbers out today. Private payrolls were released, and we added 183,000 jobs. Importantly, last month's data was revised upward. For January, we almost had 300,000 new jobs. That shows that the underlying economy is still really strong.
Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors, thank you for this.
Thank you.
Now to the allocation of money and resources at the southern U.S. border. New numbers for February released by the Federal Citizenship and Immigration Services indicate that 76,000 people without documents came to the U.S. border from Mexico last month, twice the number from a year ago. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on how the budget for border security is not matching the realities on the ground.
When Chief Brian Hastings of U.S. Border Patrol addressed the media this week, he spelled out what this number of migrants means for his team.
25% to 40% of our manpower is being dedicated to the care, transportation, and the humanitarian mission.
Border officials say the staff aren't equipped to process and care for incoming migrants, most from Central America, often in need of immediate medical attention. The federal government allocated $22 billion for border security and immigration enforcement in last year's budget, but
some of the problem is the difficulty of adjustment.
That's Josiah Hyman at the University of Texas, El Paso. He says border efficiency requires a complete overhaul of how we do things there.
Resource changes, management changes, organizational culture changes.
He says that's because most people are immediately surrendering, seeking asylum, which means barriers aren't going to do much to help. But new funding in this year's budget does provide for construction of a temporary processing center in El Paso and some money for the perpetually backlogged immigration court system. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Okay, I stand corrected. Turns out that the car and home insurance business is super interesting. So I learned from one of the captains of this industry, Tom Wilson, CEO of Allstate. He was in Chicago, where I started with a welcome to the program.
David, it's great to be with you.
Mr. Wilson, you are in the insurance industry. I know it's important work. I know it's demanding work, for sure. But ever wish you were in a cutting-edge tech industry where things would be, I don't know, more interesting?
It's a lot more interesting than people think, and that's because we really use a lot of data and technology to deliver what we need to do for our customers, whether that's fixing their homes and putting drones over them or connecting their cars.
Connecting their cars, I mean, that would be a way to deal with a major trend that I would have thought kept you at Allstate awake at night, right? We're told that private cars are a thing of the past. We're all going to be sharing cars, taking car services. Doesn't that hurt you? Because you sell car insurance policies.
We do sell car insurance, and that will change in the future. But by connecting your car, we can determine the exact right price for you. And if we can connect with you either through your phone or a device in your car, we can tell exactly how you drive and we can give you the best price possible for you. It's about expanding our services to people.
I was also reading the company has some thoughts about the data it's collecting on us. Maybe it could be aggregating data that goes even beyond our transportation habits.
Well, our job as an insurance company, as exciting as I think that is to protect people. We launched something this year, which is a digital footprint, which gives you the opportunity to figure out how to manage your digital footprint. So you can figure out who those companies are, you can figure out what they're tracking for you, and then you can decide, yeah, I'm sorry, we used to have a relationship, no more.
Now, I'm sure you've thought this through, but I do have to ask. I mean, if I sign up for this service once it's released, Allstate will have a lot of information about me. And, you know, you worry that you might sell it off to somebody else.
Our long-term goal, David, is to give people the control and ownership over their data. And if you want to sell it to somebody, you sell it to them as opposed to giving it to one of the big social networks and they sell it and they make, you know, billions of dollars off it. That ownership really belongs back with consumers. We haven't gotten it set up yet because that's the way the market developed, but we're working on that.
Tom Wilson is CEO of Allstate. If you're thinking that name seems familiar, he's also chairman of the board at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Wilson, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And before we go, while Volvo has unveiled its Polestar 2 all-electric luxury car, a senior Volvo executive told the Financial Times that the Tesla rival made in China may not come to the U.S. because U.S. tariffs could make the price, quote, ridiculous. Volvo's owned by Geely of China. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.